Across the federal government, there's quite a bit of agency-by-agency variation in the number of workers who choose to participate in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. But some agencies are finding that they can boost their response rates pretty significantly by offering incentives to complete the survey. Do those incentives unfairly bias the results? Our next guest, Jeff Neal, says there's no evidence for that, and agencies should want to see the highest response rates they can possibly get on the survey. Neal is former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. He wrote a column on the subject. It's posted now at federalnewsradio.com. He talked with me about the types of incentives agencies can and can't offer.
Agencies can give people things that are generally considered to be non-monetary incentives. And so the most common thing that I've seen people do are things like giving employees 59 minutes off if they get to a particular level of response rate on a survey. Some agencies will do things like pizza parties or ice cream socials. So things that are not gifts to individual employees for them completing the survey, but incentives when the entire organization gets to a particular response rate. So the most common thing, I saw this sometimes when I was at the Defense Logistics Agency, is a manager might say, okay, you know, if our organization gets to a 75% response rate, then everybody can have 59 minutes off. And they do that because you can't really, it's very difficult to say to an employee, well, if you fill out the survey, I'll give you an incentive, because you don't know if they filled out the survey or not. It's a confidential survey, and agencies don't have any way to know whether an employee did or did not complete the survey. But they do know what their response rates are, and so they can incentivize getting to a response rate that they're looking for.
Right, and in the particular case that you highlight in your column for us this week, which the Washington Post also wrote about, was at HUD, where their incentive structure improved their response rate by 22% in a single year. Is that fairly typical of what happens when you start to introduce incentives, do you know?
It depends on where you start out. You know, it's one of those things where if I start out low, then a big improvement is much, much easier to do. If an organization has a 70% response rate and they start offering incentives, I'd be kind of stunned to see them get to a 90% response rate.
Right.
So it really is relative to where you start. And I think it also, you know, it's also more than just did they offer incentives. It's is the organization credible? If you tell me that you'll give me an hour off if I complete a survey, and I think you're not going to do anything with the survey anyway, you know, I don't know if an hour off is so valuable to me that I want to spend my time filling out the survey if I think you're not going to do anything with it. So they do need to have some credibility in the organization that they're actually going to do something with the survey. And then, you know, the combination of that confidence in the managers being willing to do something with it and an incentive can drive up response rates.
Right. And of course, on any survey in any statistical sample, you always want the highest response rate you can possibly get. But in this particular case, you write that low rates on the viewpoint survey probably bias the results to be more negative than morale truly is in a lot of cases. Explain that non-response bias on the viewpoint survey.
I think that's the thinking that most people have. That when you have people not responding, that you actually introduce some bias because the people who respond, and this is an assumption most people make, the people who respond tend to be less happy than the people who don't respond.
The squeaky wheels.
And that's one of those things that's actually not necessarily proven out statistically. You know, there are agencies, and I think the Post wrote about that. There are agencies that have gotten their response rates up only to find out that the numbers went down because they got more people to express their opinion and they weren't happy. So you can make the argument that the non-response bias might cut in either direction depending on the circumstances in the agency and what's motivating people to either respond or not respond. People go into it saying, you know, we would like to get our response rate up, and we really think if we did, the numbers would look better. But that's not necessarily what's going to happen. One of the things you run into with these surveys is when people don't like their results, they generally want to blame something other than maybe bad morale. And so So they will say that you didn't have enough response rate, and only the unhappy people responded, or there's something wrong with the questions, or there's something else wrong with the survey in some way. So they always want to blame the instrument or the process rather than looking at themselves and looking at how they're leading their organization and whether or not maybe they're actually part of the problem and the survey itself is not the problem.
Right. So a high response rate obviously gets rid of a lot of those arguments. And you know, I've got to admit, the whole idea of incentives makes me a little queasy. And I do feel like the unions who oppose this might have a point. I mean, intuitively, it just seems to me that if you're associating the survey itself with a goodie of some kind that employees are getting, they're going to at least have better feelings about the survey than they otherwise would. And probably, at least for the few minutes that they're taking the survey, have better feelings about their agency. Why am I wrong to feel nervous about this, or am I wrong?
Well, it's funny because my first response when somebody brings up incentives with me is that I don't like them. And I'll admit it's a personal bias. I don't like them. And I think that as I was researching this article, one of the things I found is some research that said that there's really no proof that what I thought happened and what you thought happened actually does happen, that people don't get an incentive and then feel compelled to say nice things. What they did find is that sometimes people get an incentive and they feel compelled to do a better job on the survey, and as a result, there are fewer I don't know or don't have an opinion type of answers. And so it doesn't actually change how people feel or how they respond, but it makes them feel like they need to do a better job of filling out the survey, and not having an opinion is not doing a good job of filling out the survey. I actually, I'm not too old to change my view, and after writing this, researching and writing this, I actually concluded that I don't have the problem with incentives that I thought I had. And what I would actually encourage is, I would encourage OPM to put out some consistent guidance that agencies can follow, so every agency is doing the same thing with respect to incentives, and you don't have different agencies doing different things, and agencies maybe, veering off into the realm of improper incentives. You know, it's very proper to tell somebody, I want a great response rate, and I'll give you incentives to do that. It's not so proper to say, I want good numbers on the survey,
right,
and I'll give you incentives to do that. That's a very, very different thing. So I think I'd actually like to see OPM, since they administer the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, I'd like to see them put out some guidelines on incentives and take a government-wide position on it. That way it should be much less of a problem and much less controversial when agencies do choose to use incentives.
Jeff Neal is a former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, now a Senior Vice President at ICF International. His column on incentives for filling out the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey is online now at federalnewsradio.com. And you can share this interview with your colleagues. Just go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.